Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Glad you guys are here this morning. It's a great day, isn't it? Isn't it gorgeous and fantastic? Don't you love the weather? I'm excited that we finally have some good weather, and I just really believe it's going to be a good day. If you're a guest here, welcome. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. It's good to have you. I'd love for you to take a moment and fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. It's an opportunity for you to connect with us, for us to connect with you, and we send you something really cool and delicious in the mail, so you don't want to miss out on that. Also, as many of you know that this is your home, we're getting geared up and we're getting ready for Easter. Y'all excited about Easter? I'm praying it's going to be a beautiful, wonderful weekend for Easter, and it is our heart as a church. We reach people and we build lives, and so Easter is one of the best times for us to reach people. And just believing that we're going to have over 2,000 people in service, but we're also preparing for that. So here's how we're preparing, and a few ways. The first is that we're going to have service at 5:30 on Friday night, a communion service. We're going to have a service on Saturday night at 5:30. Then we're going to have four services on Sunday mornings, an 8, a 9:30, 11, and 12:30. And here's what I'm asking for everybody, and you'll be hearing more about this. I'm asking, number one, that you begin to pray for people that you know that need really a God work in their life. Pray for them. Then don't just invite them. We're going to give you cards that you can invite people. Yes, invite, but also just bring people. And if this is your house, we're also asking that if you're bringing somebody, do your best to go to an off-service time, a Friday, a Saturday, an 8 a.m., because everybody loves 8 a.m., right? Oh, it's a 9:30. Y'all are like, at least this section's like, yeah, we love the 8 o'clock. Good. Come to 8 o'clock or to a 12:30 if you like the afternoon. And I feel like I'm kind of preaching to the choir because we started the 12:30 service in January, and it's been actually really good. And it's continuing to grow, but there's still some empty seats in it, and there's not a whole bunch. In fact, last week at both 9:30 and 11, there were hardly any seats whatsoever. And so if you do think that maybe 12:30 is for you, try it out, because it is. I'll be honest, this sounds bad because y'all are 9:30 people. 12:30 is, and I'm a morning person. Like, I don't set an alarm, and I'm up by 5 at the latest typically. And 12:30 is my favorite service. There's just something about it. It's really awesome. So anyway, that's my spiel for Easter. And I'm going to mention one more thing because I'm excited about it. This Wednesday night, we have Pastor Matt Murray coming in from the UK. He's with Renew Church there, and we have a relationship with him. And he's going to be speaking, we're just calling it Heart for the House, on what it means for us to step out in faith, both individually and as a church. And I'm just believing for great things to come. God's called us to be a regional church and a church that reaches the thousands that are far from him and don't know even why they're on this earth. So we're going to pray for the service this morning. You ready? Father, we thank you for a gorgeous day. Thank you for this time today. Lord, I pray that we hear from you and that you speak to us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And this series, How to Live Through a Bad Day, really is about the words of Jesus. In fact, it's the last words that he spoke on the cross. And when we read through the Gospels, we can compile the words, the statements that he made while on the cross, which was Jesus' worst day, I would imagine. And we call it Good Friday, but it was only good for us. And of those seven statements, I think that in those really are a key for us on how we can live through a bad day, because the reality is that Jesus makes some promises, and he promises us that we're going to encounter trouble in this world. And I don't like that promise. I dislike that promise, because I would much rather the promise be, when you come to me, nothing bad will ever happen to you. How many of y'all would like that? I would love it, but it's just not the way that it works. And last week we saw the very first thing that Jesus spoke while on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And forgiveness, if we're going to live through a bad day, we need to forgive everyone who's trying to destroy us. But today, we're going to look at the second statement that Jesus made. And really, the whole series is based out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it. And that's what we're doing. For the four remaining weeks of this series, we're studying how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything. He could put up with anything. Can we put up with anything? Because I don't know about y'all, but there's some limits that, for me, probably ought to be expanded. He could put up with anything along the way. He could put up with the cross, with shame, with whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And my heart for all of us is that we are in the place of honor in our lives right alongside God. And that this series, it's both practical It's horizontal, and I want to give you some practical things that you can do to live through a bad day as we look at what Jesus spoke in his worst moments on this earth, and the pain and the shame and the humiliation, but that we can be, in spite of all of the difficulties around us, in the place of honor right alongside God. Because I want you to get grounded in his word, believe what Jesus speaks to us, and recognize that we can live a life of honor, and we can live a life where we're walking alongside God. And that's not a pipe dream. I'm not crazy or psychotic. The reality is that we can know God, and we can live a life of honor according to his word. And when we do, even when bad stuff happens, we recognize that there's a better tomorrow, even if it's not the tomorrow that we see on this earth. You guys following me? So I want to look at lesson two. But it comes out of, the first lesson was forgive everyone who's trying to ruin your life. Today's the second lesson, but it's out of Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. And it's Jesus on the cross, and he's hung. If you've seen, many times you'll see not just a single cross, but you'll see two crosses, with the cross in the middle being the bigger one, typically, because that's where Jesus was hung. And on either side, there were criminals who were hung next to him. And we see in verse 39 of Luke 23, it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence? We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, and this is so key, I want you to get this. Then he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. I just really believe that the truth is that everybody here wants to be known by God and wants to be remembered by him. That we want people to remember us, and we want God to remember us. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But I love Jesus' answer. He said, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus is in the middle of his pain. He's in the middle of his struggle. And though he's a man just like you and me, he's also the creator of it all. And he's willingly submitted himself to that pain, to that suffering, to that humiliation because he loves us. And he's bearing the burden of your screw-ups and my screw-ups and our sin. And in the middle of his struggle and his pain, he helps a fellow struggler. Do you see that? This guy is saying, Jesus, please remember me. And Jesus could have just remained silent, could have focused on trying to make it through the pain, make it through the bad day, make it through the moment of excruciation, but he doesn't. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So here's the second lesson that I want all of us to get. And here it is. Help others who are experiencing your same struggles. How do you live through a bad day? Well, Jesus gives us the example. He's helping someone else who's in the middle of the same struggle. Because that criminal was experiencing everything that Jesus was experiencing. The humiliation, the suffering, the pain, the misery, the torment. All of that he experienced alongside Jesus, but Jesus took a moment to listen to him and to reach out and to help him. And that is a key for you and for me. When we are in the middle of a really bad day, this is what we've got to know. If we want to live through that bad day, we help others who are experiencing our same struggles. Help them. What happens when you help somebody who's in the middle of pain and misery, in the middle of the same struggle that you're in? A few things. Here's three simple things. You can jot them down. They're actually in your notes in your worship guide. They're also on our app under notes. You can look that up. Here it is. Number one, it distracts you from your own needs. When you take your eyes off of the pain and the misery that you're going through and you make it your business to help somebody who's in the middle of a similar struggle, it takes away from your own struggles in a good way. And can I just say, as a pastor, this I know. You guys have helped me an awful lot. You know how? Because Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Like, it's coming. It's coming. Every Sunday is coming. And you know what that means? That means I'm going to have to stand up here and preach. And so there are times when I've really wanted to hash it out with my wife and, like, just give her a piece of my mind. And if I'm honest, probably sometimes that I've done that as well. And then I'm realizing, like, Sunday's coming. And, like, there's a lot of people that are looking at me and they're wanting something that at that moment I know I don't have, but I know God does. But I better get right with him so I can give what he has through me, because this ain't me. Does this make sense to you guys? I hope. And so it'll be like, baby, I'm sorry. I got to get right. Because I'm, listen, let me just tell y'all, I'm human too. And I've I can't tell you how many times we've gotten through things together and you don't even realize it, because God's called me to be a help to people. But it's not just me. It's not just a pastor that's called to help people in the middle of their pain and in the middle of their suffering, in the middle of their struggle. All of us are called to do the same. And Jesus gives us that example while on the cross in the middle of his worst day. He takes time to listen to somebody else who's hurting alongside of him and then to reach out to them. And when we do that, it distracts us. It distracts us from our own needs, because the reality is whatever you focus on is amplified in your life. I'm going to say that again, because if you don't know this, you should write it down. Whatever you focus on is amplified and magnified in your life. So when you focus on your own pain, it just gets bigger. But when you take a moment to stop focusing on your pain and focus on something bigger than you outside of yourself and helping someone else, you help them and your pain lessens. That's a win-win situation. It distracts us from our own need. Here's the second thing. It helps us to see the solution. It helps us to see the solution. When we help somebody else, when we're in the middle of a struggle, but we help somebody else who's struggling alongside of us, it helps us to see the solution to our very own pain. Because the reality is that pain blinds, but when we take our eyes off of the pain and we put it on a person who's in a similar situation, we can help them. And in reality, they help us. Because the fact is that when you help someone else, you're truly helping yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that when a man loves his wife, he loves himself. Well, I had a bad marriage for a lot of years, just honestly, I did. And it wasn't until I came to the revelation that maybe I should reach out and be life-giving and kind and loving to my wife. And instead of trying on getting my own needs and desires and wants and ideas of how things should be, instead of trying to get that fulfilled, I tried to fulfill those in her. It's like everything switched. And like all of a sudden, when I gave of myself to my wife, everything that I wanted started being given to me, because it's the law of reciprocation. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And when you sow help to somebody, guess what you get? So when you help someone, it distracts you from your own needs, but it helps you to see the solution. Here's the third thing. It allows us to put things in perspective. When you help someone, it allows you to put things in perspective. Because if you simply focus on the problem, if you simply focus on the struggle, if you simply focus on the pain, you're going to see everything through that perspective of pain. And the perspective of pain is a lie, because it makes you feel like you can't do it, like you want to quit, like you got to give up. But when you start reaching outside of yourself and helping people, it's amazing how your eyes get open to the world around you that's bigger than yourself. But let me tell you, the primary tactic of the enemy is to get you focused on you so that he can build a wall of division between you and God and you and everybody else. And if you focus on your pain, in the middle of that pain, if you're focusing on that, it's just going to get bigger and it's going to separate you from everyone and everything. And the perspective of pain is a lie, because pain is temporary. It's not permanent unless we want it to be. And nobody wants that until they get to the place where they're so blinded by pain that they can't see clearly, and all they can see for the inevitable future is pain. Have you ever been in that place? It's a miserable place to be. But when you step outside of yourself and you help someone, you get to see a bigger perspective. It's why we're pushing mission trips. Go on a mission trip. Go on a mission trip. And we're taking 2 mission trips this year. You can sign up for 2019, because they filled up like that. We're already planning for 3 mission trips in 2019. You can get on board with that, but if you're going to do it, I suggest you do it early. But here's what's amazing. When you go on a mission trip, and without fail, it happens every time. People who have never been on a mission trip, they're all excited. Man, I'm going to go, and I'm going to change people's world, and I'm going to see something awesome built in that country, and where these people don't have an awful lot. And they come back having done all that, but that's not their takeaway. Do you know what their takeaway is? I can't believe that mission trip changed me. It changed my life. Now, I remember the first time I went to Mexico. I was about 12 years old. And we're walking through the back roads of this little town called San Miguel. And I'm with my dad. And I'm walking by this, like down this street, and there's like these little shops and these little houses. And I very clearly, it's just etched in my mind, I look into this one house and it's a small room, like maybe a quarter of this stage. And I stopped and I looked. It was about bedtime. It was in the evening. And I counted 12 hammocks hung up in this little bitty room. And there was a sink, a toilet, and a shower all in the corner. And you could see that it just had like two curtains to block it off. And 12 people were living. That's what I figured from the hammocks. 12 hammocks were set up. So I figured 12 people were living in this little bitty room. When you step outside of yourself, your perspective begins to shift. And you realize you probably have it better than most. Do you know that? Even the poverty of the United States, and there can actually be some pretty astounding poverty, but for the most part, even the poverty of the United States is better than the middle class, if they even have it in other countries. Let me just remind you, because you this morning you are healthy enough to either hear my voice online or sit in a seat and experience air conditioning and electricity. And I'm not minimizing your pain, but I'm telling you this. Maybe if you step outside of yourself, you'll get a different perspective and you'll recognize, even in the middle of your pain, you're probably still, there's probably still some things you can thank God for. When you step outside of yourself, it distracts you from your own needs. It helps you to see the solution, but it gives you a different perspective. Look at Isaiah 58, 10 and 11. It says, If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and he'll strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. If you spend yourselves, if you feed the hungry, if you satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then what happens? Your darkness becomes like the noonday. You see that? Your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Have you ever been in a place of darkness and hated it, but didn't know how to get out? It's a miserable place to be, isn't it? What's the formula? What's the solution? The solution is if you spend yourselves, in other words, you give of yourselves, and the thing with pain, whenever you've been hurt, you know what the instinctive reaction is? It's to draw in. You ever seen a fight go really bad and somebody's getting their behind kicked? What does the person who's getting their behind kicked do? What do? They're usually on the ground in the fetal position because pain causes you to draw in. And so often we see in Scripture that we see God calling us to get outside of ourselves. And though most of the pain that we experience is emotional, There is certainly physical pain, but that spiritual and emotional pain that causes us to draw into ourselves, the Bible's telling us, spend yourselves, give of yourself. And when you give of yourself, here's what you find. The darkness around you begins to give way to the light of God in your life. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 11. It says, the Lord will guide you as always. It says, look right here. You will be like a well-watered garden. When you give of yourself, God waters you. But look at this next part. Like a spring whose waters never fail. Because when you give of yourself and you help somebody else who's struggling with the same thing that you're dealing with, who's also in pain, not only does God water your soul and bring life to you and light in the darkness, that he uses you like a spring whose waters never fail to bring life and sustenance to the people around you. And that's an awesome thing. You guys following me? Because y'all are pretty quiet this morning. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying. Y'all got it? Yes, sir. Good. Excellent. You know, as a church, that's why we exist, to reach people who find themselves in places of darkness, to reach people who don't know that God has a purpose and a plan for them. That's why everything that you see says reaching people and building lives, because we want to reach people. And our heart for people is to get them connected to God, to get in a relationship with Christ so that they can build their life on something that actually stands. Because the fact is that there is truth, but truth is not subjective upon the culture that we're in or what we think in the moment. There's a truth that surpasses our comprehension and limited fashion and is eternal, and it is God. And that's not blind faith. Can I just say, I'm just going to digress for just a moment. Blind faith is ridiculous. Even the Scripture says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And all I have to do is walk outside on a beautiful day like this, and I can see that there is something way bigger than us, that even the smartest who have ever lived have failed to be able to comprehend a completeness. And at the end of the day, even the smartest of the smart will often, if not, I'm not going to say always, because people can make their own choices, but the Albert Einsteins, the Stephen Hawkings, the Brian Greens, the super mega smart will even walk outside and go, wow, we can't understand that all. This is an amazing design. Certainly there's a designer because of that, because it just makes sense. It's just logical. It just makes sense. But this that I know, that we can have faith for the future if we trust God. We exist to reach people, to build lives. You know, we are a church that we love people. We love God, and we want to serve. Why? Because when you serve somebody else in their point of pain, God brings you to a point of freedom. It's so true. Like so many times we want to have that joyful, we want to be happy. We want to enjoy life. But because of the circumstances in which we find ourselves and the pain that we have to walk through, and honestly, a lot of it, not even our fault, because somebody from the outside has done something stupid to us and it hurts. Have y'all ever had that? And it weighs on you, and you feel like you can't move and you can't see. Let me just tell you, it's in those moments that the temptation is to turn inwardly. But God is calling us to step out. And Jesus exemplified this on the cross in the moment of his most intense pain. And he steps outside of himself and he helps somebody. When you do that, big things happen. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. And I encourage you to read this. You can read this in any translation you like. I'm looking at it in the Message, which is a paraphrase, not a translation, because it has some things that I really like in here. So let's put that up. It says, "All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel." Look at this. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. Isn't it good to know that God comes alongside us in hard times? Anybody here pull yourself up by your bootstraps type of person? I am. If you've ever like refused help even though you needed it, I've done that. Have y'all done that before? See, if our mindset is, I'm strong and I'm gonna get through it, I don't need help from anybody, it's real easy in the middle of that struggle and that pain for two things. Number one, to isolate yourself from people. And the second thing is to isolate yourself from God. And the truth of it is the root is the third thing. It's pride. It's all about me. And I can like, I'm going to get out and I'm going to do all that. But we've got to know that in the middle of hard times, God wants to walk alongside of us. Stop pushing him away and his people away, because the reality is that in our pain, we need help. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, let's look at the next tile. He brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person. See, the selfish side of us says when we're hurting, everybody loves to be tatted. Don't you? Oh, tatted. Oh, BB, I love you. It's going to be all right. You want me to rub your booty? Come, it's going to be okay. We want that. There's a part of us that wants that. But the reality is that God brings us alongside someone else. We got to get this. Who is going through hard times. So they're struggling as well. So that they can help us. So that they can rub our little booties, make us feel better. No, so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. Remember that he's going to give you a well-watered garden, but he's going to make you a spring. Everybody wants, like, water me, somebody water me. But it's not until we step outside of ourselves. We recognize that God is walking with us, but he's going to put people next to us that we can be his voice and his hands of compassion to, and in doing that, there's freedom for them and for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah. Wasn't that a great scripture? Next tile. We have plenty of, yes, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. So many people fail to get to the place of God's healing comfort because they focus on the problem and they focus on the pain rather than focusing on God walking next to them and the people around them who are struggling. No more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too when, look at this, we get God's comfort when we suffer for Jesus. It works out for your healing and salvation. If we're treated well, given a helping hand, an encouraging word, next time, that also works to your benefit, spurring you on, face forward, unflinching. Your hard times are also our hard times. Are they? Do you believe that? Who is it in your life that when they're going through a hard time, you take it as your hard time? I love Galatians 6:2. It says that we are called to bear other people's burdens. Are you bearing the burden of someone else? Is somebody that's walking through a hard time and you're in the middle of your hard time, do you expect them to run to you? Are you willing to bear their burden and run to them? Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, here it is. We know you're going to make it, no doubt about it. How do I know that you're going to make it through the difficulty, through the trial, through the struggle? When you stop focusing on it, when you don't play the woe is me, the Eeyore spirit of it's always raining over you, but instead in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your struggle, that you're reaching out to others who are in the middle of a similar circumstance and you help them. It's what Jesus did and it's what we're called to do. So how do we live through a bad day? Yes, last week we forgive everyone who's trying to mess up our life, but this week you've got to know you live through a bad day by helping other people who are in a similar circumstance and walking through their own struggles and in the middle of their own pain. That's how you do it. Here's the thing. When you do that, this isn't in your notes, but I want you to know this, that God will use you in two areas. He's going to use you in your gifts and your passions. Like we think that we have to become, let me just rephrase that. Don't think that you have to become something that you're not to help somebody. Be yourself, because God's gifted you and he's wired you in such a way that when you operate naturally in his giftings that he's given you, that it's going to be like you're in your element and you're helping someone. God uses you to help others in the way that he's wired you. Like maybe you're a word person and you can write out a card and you can, by your words, because God's gifted you that way, that you can be an encourager. It's a spiritual gift as well. So you can be an encourager and you can write a note or you can call somebody. Maybe you're a craft person and God's gifted you with craftsmanship. Like you can do things skillfully and you build something or make something. Or maybe he's given you just a spirit of mercy that you can go and just help somebody and cry with them. That's definitely not me, but there are people that are like that. And when you step out of yourself recognizing that God uses you in your gifts and your passions, it becomes easy to help people because it's second nature. It's not contrived, because so often people think that it's like something that you have to like do this way or that way, or just be yourself. Just have a heart for God and a heart for people. And the second way that God will use you is he'll use you in your mess ups. Do you know that? God uses you in your mess ups. Don't think that because you've messed up that God can't use you. God will use you in your areas where you've messed up. Don't think, oh, I'm divorced and that's it. I can't ever help anybody. You can help a lot of people who are going through what you've been through. When you surrender everything to God, your divorces, your addictions, your pain, your financial ruin, the anger issues, the mess ups that you've had, Romans 8:28 holds true. All things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. Listen, when your purpose is God's purpose, he turns all things around for good. And it gets redeemed. Man, that's the theme of the Bible, is redemption. My marriage was terrible. God turned it around. I get to use that. God will use you in your mess ups. So people that have miserable marriages that are just failing, I'm like, been there, know what that's like. And guess what? God will use you. You've struggled with addiction, great. You want comfort and freedom from that, start helping other people who are struggling with that. And God will bring you through it. That's just a side note. So here's the practical, three things on how to help others. I believe Jesus did this when he says, Luke 23:43, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. But here's how to help others practically. Number one, offer them stability. Offer them stability. That's what Jesus did. He said, today. Actually, in the New King James, it says, assuredly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. There is an assurance that comes when we surrender to the King of Kings. When we say, God, I'm yours. There is a stability that takes root because we've surrendered to God, the creator of all, who's way bigger than us. How do you help? How do you help people? Offer them stability. That only comes through them knowing and walking with Christ. Jesus says, assuredly. Do you have that assurance? Are you able to stand in faith? This is, I know, a little bit of a challenging message, because all of us are going to go through difficult times and difficult seasons. And it's in those moments when the storm comes that you find out what your life is built on. Is it built on the sand of relativity and a culture that's constantly changing and changes its opinions relatively quickly? Or is it built on the truth that you know because you've built your life on God's word and you've put it to the test? The only way to know if something's true is you have to test it. And my prayer is that you have that assurance God's word is true. Why am I always challenging and always will challenging you to read the Bible every day? But not just to read it, to put it into practice, because that's putting it to the test. And when you put it to the test and you do what it says, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find two things. Number one, it's not always easy. But number two, it is always true. I read the Bible every day and I put it to the test. I've failed it a lot of times, truthfully, but it's never failed me. Do you have that assurance? Because if you don't, you're just giving someone what you think might be true, and there's no solidity in a solution that you think, well, maybe that's true. I'm not quite sure, but why don't you try this? Offer them stability. But can I say this? That you will only be able to offer them stability to the degree that you yourself are stable in the knowing the truth of God's word. But you'll never know it if you don't get into it. Am I being too hard here? I hope not. I want to encourage you, get in the Bible. And you may say, well, listen, I'm new to faith and I don't even have a Bible. We will give you a Bible. Our ministry team will be here at the end of this service. You say, hey, I need a Bible. Pastor Todd said, I can get a Bible. We'll get you a Bible. But get in God's word. Why? Because it is the foundation that we build our lives on if we want stability. And if you just read it and don't put it to the test, you're not. That's not security. That's just knowledge. And the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. It's not knowledge that I want you to get. It's the revelation of truth that comes when you apply the knowledge that you found in the Bible, because you'll find it to be true. Psalms 40:20 says this. I love this. It says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. That place is Jesus and his word. Here's the second thing. Offer them support. Offer them support. Luke 23:43 says, today you will be with me. Today you will be with me. Here's the reality that everybody needs a somebody in their life, particularly when they're going through a place of difficulty and struggle. Who are you standing with? Who are you walking with? Because the fact is that you need to be, if you want to help somebody, you need to be not just provide stability in God's word and speaking that, you need to provide support. And that comes in the form of being there. Listen, I know that we're a large church and we seem to be growing every week. We're a big church. But that's a good thing. On Sundays, we're a big church because we want to reach people and we want to build lives and we want to see thousands who are far from God come to know him. But if you're not getting plugged in with smaller groups of people that you can really do life with, man, it's hard. You need. Let me just say this. You don't need a small group. You need godly friends that can encourage you in your walk with him. Small groups can provide that. People will regularly ask, well, how do I get plugged in? Here's the best way to get plugged in. Get plugged in to grow. It's our growth track. It happens at 11 o'clock every week, well, the first 4 weeks out of the month. Get plugged in, and you'll find godly connection. The whole point of grow is to get you to connect to your purpose and then connect to God's people. And I'll always push you into small groups. Why? Because you can be a support for someone and someone can be a support for you. And it's just the nature of how we've been wired that when we're in a group of people, it's like I may be having a bad day, but not everybody's having a bad day all at the same time. Have you noticed that? Do you have enough people in your life that you are close enough with that you can share what's going on? Because here's what you'll find if you've got really a God group of people is that not everybody's got a bad day on the same day. And it seems like when I'm having a bad day, somebody over here is having a great day and they can be a source of life and encouragement and that vice versa. And you're going to be able to help people by offering them the stability of God's word, but you've got to live it out. You're going to be able to offer people support. You know, Jesus says, today you'll be with me. Who are you walking with in their moment of pain? Offer that support. Ecclesiastes 4:12. I love Ecclesiastes 4. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord isn't easily broken. And as we wrap up, the third thing that we are all called to offer, and it's really the thing that I think matters the most, is salvation. Salvation. How do we help others? We offer them stability. Listen, God's word's true. Here's how I know it's true. I've put it to the test, and I'm telling you that if you trust God and His word, it'll be true for you, but you've got to give it all of you. Listen, I'm here for you. I am going to walk with you, regardless of what you decide. I'm going to walk with you because I love you. But the third thing is offer them salvation. That does not, let me just tell you right now, that has not come from you, that comes from God. Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. There are a lot of people who need to be rescued from the misery, from the slimy pit, from the mud, from the mire of the miserable world that they're in. Do I know where that salvation comes from? Support is a great thing, and support groups are great things. But the state of someone's soul is beyond my ability to repair. It is beyond anyone's ability to repair. But God can. I need to recognize where that comes from. It says today, Luke 23:43, today you'll be with me in paradise. Best English translation for paradise, you know what it is? It's the word resort. Jesus says to the guy on the cross next to him when he says, Jesus, remember me. Jesus says, today, you're gonna be with me in paradise. Today, in just a little bit, we're gonna be on a resort where all of our needs are met, where everything's perfect, where it's sunshiny. I don't even know that's a word. Is sunshiny a word? I just made it a word. The reality is that none of us get out of this life alive. Nobody. We're all going to taste death one day. Everybody. But there's a better tomorrow. And it may not even be tomorrow on this planet. The Bible says eternity is written on the hearts of men. And only the very messed up, the very, very broken from a place that there's just no healthy people that are wanting to die. There's some brokenness there. Am I willing to offer what Jesus offered to this guy? Hope for tomorrow. It's a very American mindset that we want God to fix everything right now. But the reality is that we live in a very broken and messed up world, and other people's choices, they can mess us up. But there is a place where there is no sorrow, where there is no pain, where there are no tears. There's no brokenness. There's only love. There's only wholeness and peace and joy. And it's not a pipe dream. It's for real. I've had the privilege of being with a lot of people when they die. I never thought that would be me because that's not my thing. But I've just been there when a lot of people have passed on. And I'm telling you, there's a difference. There's a night and day difference between those who don't know God at all and those who have the security, the stability, because they've surrendered their life to Christ. This is the last blank on your notes. It says, Jesus offered more than a better now. He offers a better place. Jesus offers a better place today. Some of you, you're living through a bad day. You need to step outside of yourself and help somebody. And some of you today, you need to receive the help that Jesus himself is offering. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know this message was for me, and I know that I'm that person today that needs to receive that help from Jesus. today, he's saying to you, you can be with him today. And then God's knocking on the door of your heart. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but right where you are, I just want to pray for you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know this message was for me, and I need to surrender to him. I just sense that he's saying that he wants me to be with him today, and today I want to surrender all to him. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. Say, Pastor, that's me. I know that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Can we all just pray right now? Say, dear God, I surrender all to you. I know you are my help. You are my security. I turn from myself and my sin. I turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give those folks a hand? It's an awesome Sunday. I love you guys. It's a great day. The best is yet to come. Have a wonderful day.